The world's finest Bible lies unpublished within each one of us. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capital, California, with Bible Stories. And this is a Bible story for sure. The world's finest Bible lies unpublished within each one of us. Every one of us feel that we are important, feel that we have value, and we feel that our thoughts are valid and important. And the author of the Bible that we all enjoy reading, called the New Testament, Jesus the Christ, he said, okay, take everything that you have here and make it work in your life. And he said, whatever you take and make it work in your life, it is done unto you according to your belief. So now, what have you read in the Old Testament? What have you read in the New Testament? From reading the scriptures that that had been written in the early days, it was pointed out that most people couldn't read, and so it was done by hearing it. And when they started to take it down, their vocabulary and language was probably quite good, but they did not have any capital letters, they did not have any periods, and they did not have any space between the sentences. And if you can imagine such a thing like this, they did not have spaces between the words. Gosh. Now, you tell me that when you have a condition like that, unless you are in tuned to whatever it is you're reading and knowing, you're going to come up with some very interesting ideas. And in the Aramaic Bible of, what was his name? He was very...
George Lamza,
thank you. In the Aramaic Bible of George Lamza, he, in the preface, tells in certain areas of how the Bible said certain things and how it was not that way. Because some little curlicue was dropped on the bottom of a letter or some other little thing. Well, a little curlicue can make a big difference. Imagine what spaces can do. Well, he was reading it from the Aramaic. And in reading it from the Aramaic, he was reading it from a totally different thing. Now, it came out with a lot of similarity. In fact, I would say the majority was similar. And then, in the early days of the Bible, the Bible scholars wrote their Bibles, and they copied their Bibles by hand, and they put notes in the side defining what those things meant, because they read the Bible from the Greek, or they read the Bible from the Latin, or they read the Bible from the Aramaic, and they read the Bible from all these different languages. And as they read the Bible from these different languages, in the different languages, words had different meanings. And words and idioms were used that were not common in all languages. And so, if you didn't understand these idioms, then having the idiom said made it sound like gibberish, you know. So, Jesus, in his presentation, said, I have come not to destroy the law and the prophets, but I have come to give you a new commandment. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, it was a little more expressive than that, but you shall love the Lord thy God. And then he taught, the Lord your God is within you. God dwells in you. Now, we oftentimes say to children, boys and girls, I'm going to leave you on your honor. This is going to be an honor examination. I am giving you on your honor that you will not look on each other's papers and copy answers. I will I'm going to leave the room, and I'm going to leave you on your honor that you will not talk to each other, and that you will not do naughty things, you know, spitballs and what have you. I'm going to leave you on your honor, on your honor. Now, what is our honor? Our honor is our inner Bible. And this is what Jesus taught completely, that we should live on our honor, on our inner Bible, on God in us. And as we live on our honor, on our inner Bible, we will always do the right thing. Now, one lady called up the other day, months ago, and she said, my mother is tough to be with. And I said, well, you deserve her. She said, I deserve her. I said, yeah. I said, that's how you've created her. I didn't create her. That's the way she is. You couldn't see her that way unless you create her that way. Because if you're so pure and so beautiful and so good, you won't see her that way. Now, follow my directions, if you will. And from this day forward, look at your mother and see her beautiful. Look at your mother, see her loving. Look at your mother and see her the most gentle, sensitive, caring person on the face of the earth, just like you are. Ha 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 ha, you know? And so she took those ideas and she did that. And within 1 month, she would call me often, and within 1 month she said, you know, Herb, it's such a pleasure to talk to my mother. Oh, how about that, you know? And then she'd say, it's such a pleasure to tell my mother that she's God and she's wonderful and she's beautiful. Ah, that's lovely. And do you know what my mom does? My mom is in a rest home, and she tells everybody else that she's God and that they're God too. And it shakes them up, but they say, okay, you must know what you're talking about, you know. You're the only person here with an opinion like that, you know. So they believe her. And my mom is great. My mom is wonderful. My mom is fantastic. Well, now, she always was. But you see, she was following somebody else's Bible. She was following somebody else's Bible that said, you must believe in appearances. And then when I told her, hey, you create your own appearances. So create your mom as a wonderful, beautiful person in your eyes, in your mind, in your heart, and in your world. And so it is. Well, and so it is. And she said, but I'm having trouble with my husband. I'm having trouble with my sister. I'm having trouble. I said, do the same thing. But that's a lot of work. That's right. Because you have written your Bible. Now you're going to have to throw out the old Bible. Throw out the old Bible that said that's the way it is. Those are the appearances. And write a new Bible. Now, there was a Bible, many Bibles that were written. And then King James was, King James was not a very nice king, but he did bring out the King James Version of the Bible. And he was against the Bible with all the annotations on the side because it just took too much reading back and forth. Now, I guarantee you, King James did not rewrite the Bible. I guarantee he did not even read the Bible. I quite imagine he did not even read. Maybe he did, but I imagine he didn't. And certainly that was... So, he had his Bible scholars rewrite the Bible. He had his Bible scholars incorporate into the Bible any field notes that were necessary and make it into one simple Bible, which is the King James Bible that we read and have believed in for so many years. Now, they've since revised that many times. But the thing is, who's writing the Bible? Who's writing this great and wonderful sacred book whose words are so sacred that no man dare change any of them? Huh. They're changed constantly. The minister gets up on Sunday and he tells you what the Bible story means from his point of view. Mm. And he's a good man, but he is maybe a Methodist and he has a Methodist point of view. Or he is a Baptist and a Baptist, or Catholic and a Catholic point of view. Or he's a New Thought minister, and he speaks from a New Thought point of view. Now, all of them have a certain similarity, but they're different. And some of them, God is a terrible God. And others, God is a loving God. And, I mean, there's such diversity, and there's such confusion. So, I say to you, The greatest Bible that was ever written lies unread and unpublished within each one of us. And if we can learn to turn to that Bible within us and let it be our guide. I told you about this one young boy who was about 7 or 8, and he hit his sister over the head with a pair of roller skates. And his mother and father brought me in to talk to him, and I talked to him, and I said, you knew that that would hit you, that would hurt your sister when you hit her. No, I didn't. I was just angry at her. You could have killed her. I didn't know it. I'm sorry. Okay, that's good to be sorry. Now, where are your skates? Right here. I said, give them to me. And now, I said, okay. Now, I raised my arm to hit him with those. Don't, that'll hurt, that'll kill me. I said, and don't ever forget it. You knew all along that it would hurt and it would kill you. But don't ever forget it. From that moment on, that boy, Travis, was the finest young man that you could ever want. Today, he's the president of a multi-billion-dollar corporation in Minneapolis, the London food stores and so forth, the corporation chain. Fantastic boy. Now, that was a turning point in his life. I was just his teacher and working with him. He did the work. He got the message. And he began living from the Bible within him. Because around him were things going on which would shake anybody's boat. And that would be tough. His father killed his mother and then killed himself and still felt like that, and the mother's boyfriend and whatever. And you know, really sordid stuff, really heavy-duty stuff. And then with so much money floating around, you know, there's a possibility of going bad. But he went totally good because he got a good foundation at the moment it was necessary to get it. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were all having that moment in the early part of our life to find the unwritten, unpublished Bible within us? It's within us, and it covers every possibility that we could ever want to have. This Bible within us knows when we love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our being and all our spirit and our neighbor like ourselves, then we are in perfect unconditional love. Perfect unconditional love. And we do everything from unconditional love. And our life is filled with joy and peace and happiness, and everything we do is good. And what did Jesus say of God? He says, God is a God of terror and hatred. No, he didn't. The Old Testament writers tried to tell you that, you know, because they were trying to make a threat against the people to behave. And Jesus only made the condition, God is a God of love and can only see love, can only know love, can only share experience and give love. And that's you. And that's why we say we are the allness, we are the isness, we are God. Now, that doesn't go with a lot of people. A lot of people have their different religious backgrounds, their different religious understandings, and bless them, that's fine. And we have our different religious backgrounds and understanding. You are still as much a Catholic as you ever were. You are merely trying to cover it over. Mm-hmm. And as long as you keep doing it, you're never going to step into the new you. Because Jesus said, it's done unto you according to your belief. Now, he said, if you believe bad things, you don't have to keep on believing bad things. And if you believe things that limit you, you don't have to keep on believing things that limit you. You can start believing things that reveal you, that unlimit you, that show you out to be the fabulous person you are. And you see, this is what it's all about. And that's why when we allow ourselves to, as the Jewish people say, tradition, tradition, if we follow tradition, I love this little story that I tell often. I haven't told it for a long time. The mother made a beautiful pot roast, beautiful roast. And it was so glorious. And her daughter was watching because she wanted to make a nice one too. And just before the mother put the roast in the pan, she cut off about 2 inches from each side, that is each end. And she put it in the pan. And the pan was a nice size pan. And so the roast, of course, was just superb. And so the daughter says, now, why did you cut off the 2 pieces on the end? I cut them off because that's Grandma's recipe. Well, I'm going to ask Grandma why you cut them. I mean, I just want to know everything about it, Jim. I want to know what spices and stuff, and also why you cut those pieces off. And so they asked Grandma, and she said, well, I did it because my mother taught me that. And her mother was still living, too. And so they went to her mother, and they said, great-grandmother, your roast is wonderful, it's delicious, but why do we cut off 2 inches on each end of the roast? Well, because my roasting pan was only so big and it wouldn't fit in. Oh. Well, now, subsequent roasting pans were not that small. They made them bigger. But her pan was small, and that's why. Now, did that help the roast be good? Yes, it did.
Because they thought so.
Because they believed it would.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that once they knew that Grandma, great-great-grandma did it only because of the size of her pan, do you think they stopped cutting it off?
Yes.
No way.
No.
No way. That is part of the charm of that roast. That's part of the charm of that roast. That's tradition. Now, you see, it's silly. But now, if they ever teach that to a subsequent daughter and a subsequent, you know, great-great-great-great-granddaughter, and they say, now, you do these spices and do this here and let it soak, and then, okay, fine, and then you cook it at 350 degrees for an hour, you know, or whatever length of time. And but you forgot to mention cutting off the ends. And so this great-great-great-great-granddaughter does this and makes it beautifully and doesn't cut off the ends because her pan is quite large, quite able to handle it. And it was just as good as Grandma's. And mother comes over and says, that roast is just as good as Grandma made. Lovely. Now, then in the future, you don't have to cut it off. Now, my beloveds, great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter teaches it to great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter. And the mother prepares the roast and puts it in the pan and puts it in the oven and says, this is just like great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother did. She doesn't put any seasoning on it. She doesn't put anything in it. She doesn't make it at 360 degrees. She makes it at 250 degrees for 3 hours. And it has a chance to baste in its own juices. It has a chance to cook in its own perfection. And then when it's taken out, it is the most natural, delightful, savory meat that is what the Neanderthal men had in their cave when they put their steaks on the fire. They didn't have any seasoning, you know. All they did is baste it in its own juices and stuff. And when they took it out, probably still not totally cooked, it was delicious. Well, you know, I am amused that here we are. We have this Bible written within us, and the Bible says, to the pure, all is pure. To the pure, all is pure. And yet, we learn to be nature children. We learn to run around naked. We learn to run around and not be burned by the sun. We learn to be able to swim in any temperature water and feel very comfortable. We learn to be happy and unburned by the sun. We learn to eat natural foods right from the harvest without anything on them. Ooh, that's so good. That sweet corn is so delicious. That tender young sweet corn that is just perfect, you know, it's so delicious. No salt, no pepper, no nothing, no cooking even, you know. It's just so tender and so lovely. And the young tender carrots and the young tender, you see, they're all at this tender bit. And then we start saying, well, I wonder how it would taste with a little bit of oregano on it, or a little bit of salt, or a little pepper, or a little of this. And you see, we cease to be pure. We cease to be our original purity and integrity. We keep sliding away from our original purity and integrity by all the things that take us away from our inner Bible. Our inner Bible only knows purity. It only knows wholeness. It only knows divinity. It only knows everything is good and very good. Now, you can take a cup of water from anywhere and drink it, and it is pure. But the minute you look at that water and judge it, the minute you put a microscope on it and you see all the little creatures swimming around in there, you immediately say it is impure. The minute you look at the air you breathe, if you saw the air that you let in your lungs, even up here on top of the mountain, you would see so much life in that air that you'd say, I thought air was more pure, just oxygen and hydrogen, or whatever, you know, that the air is made up of. And so you say, wow. And you think that oxygen is just pure too. But my goodness, oxygen has more activity going on in it that you can shake a stick at. Now, we call it pure, and for us it's pure. But for us to purposefully make something impure, for us to purposely dilute our Bible and listen to what others say rather than to what the divine in us says, the creative author of our own inner Bible, and that's what it is, the world's finest Bible lies unpublished within each one of us. When we listen to that Bible, we will never go wrong. That Bible would say, I created your body whole and perfect, and it is so. I created every organ and action and every function of your body as magnificent, and it is so. I created everything that you see in your world perfect, and it is so, because you're looking at it with perfect eyes. I create everything that you hear in your world as perfect, because I created perfect ears. I created every word that you speak coming directly from that divine within you as fantastic and glorious and wonderful, because that's what you are. That's what I created. You see, the world's finest Bible lies unpublished within each one of us. Now, my recommendation, read that Bible. Spend some time reading. And the Bible comes in all versions inside you. It's on DVD, it's on CD, it's on audio, it's on video, it's on mental telepathy.
MP3.
Yeah, that's just a cheaper version. It's on MP3, and it's on any way you want, tape, you know, cassette, any way you want. But the thing is, you can do that if you want. But I recommend that you merge yourself fully with who you are and publish it in your own heart, in your own life, and be that which you are within you, that divine reality that you are within you, and be only that. And listen to no one else, including me. Listen to nothing on the outer. Listen to no teachers, no gurus, no other format, because the allness, the isness, is you, and that's within you. And when you are listening to that unpublished Bible within you, when you are hearing it in all formats and living it in all formats, and that is all that you are, there's nothing else but that, then you are whole and perfect. You are all knowledge. You are the most magnificent. You are whatever you want to play the game that you are. And I say, since we came to planet Earth to be a human being, let us let go of being concerned about what anybody else does, what anybody else thinks, what anybody else says, what anybody else wants for us, even though they may want our best. And we go directly to our resource within and listen to that divine video within and live harmoniously with that divine video within and be it. You see, and when we be it, then we are it. And then we have not returned to our original purity and integrity. We have revealed that we've always been there. We reveal our original purity and integrity, which is always waiting for us to enjoy it. So this is, if I were to give you a commandment, I would say, be yourself and have fun. Mm. And can you see how it fits? Mm-hmm. So I'm not being frivolous, and I'm not being unkind, and I'm not asking of you anything that is beyond your capacity to do, because you've done it many times, but you just don't do it all the time. And I want to see you doing it all the time for your blessing. Because Ellen says to me, but Herb, you. I said, yes, Ellen, I'm just doing it all the time. That's all. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I do it all the time?
No.
Well, I don't mind if you do it all the time either.
I know.
Or the rest of you. I don't mind if you do it all the time.
Yes.
So go and do it. And enjoy. And know that the world's finest Bible lies unpublished within each one of us. Have you read your copy today? Enjoy. Enjoy, enjoy, because I love you. I love you.
I love you.